He was despised and rejected by others, a man of suffering and acquainted with infirmity, and is one with whom others hide their faces. He was despised. We held him with no account. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases, yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that has made us whole. And by his bruises, by his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've all turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of all of us. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before the shearers. So he did not open his mouth in the middle of all of that. By a perversion of justice, he was taken away. Who could have imagined his future? For he was cut off from the land of the living, strucken for the transgression of my people. They made his grave with the wicked, and his tomb with the rich, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. May God bless us with understanding as we share together in the reading of his holy word. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Jesus called a child, whom he put among them. And Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever becomes humble like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a millstone were fastened around your neck and you were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of stumbling blocks. Occasions for stumbling are bound to come, but woe to the one by whom the stumbling block comes." May God add a blessing of understanding as we've shared in this, the reading of his holy words. So the scripture highlights the fact of where does sin come from. You know, later in the passage it talks it comes from the inside, from desire. It comes from this push outward of who we are. It comes from interior. But how do we experience it on the outside? How does the heart, what does it command? And tonight, we're going to look at where we are spiritually in terms of our hands. You know, the hands are the tools of where you are at this moment spiritually. There is a heart-to-hand connection here. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual sacrifice of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove the will of God." You see, our heart comes out in our hands, and our head, what we're thinking, comes out in our hands. That's why Jesus highlighted one fact. He said, when you're pure in spirit, this comes from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. He said, "Blessed are you who are pure in heart, for you shall see God." And so he's calling for us to purify our heart, and then to purify our mind. The end result is so that we can have our hands reflect what we're thinking and also what we're feeling. You know, with your hands, you can heal others. And during this time, are we not grateful for the healers in our society, for the medical profession, for those who are doctors and nurses and CNAs and all those who touch you with their hands with the intent of healing you? We're grateful for those who keep us safe with their hands, not only our borders, but also interior in our country, our military and our police, who heal you with our hands and as first responders, and the ambulance and the EMTs, we're grateful that their heart and head are borne out in their hands as they heal us. Remember also with your hands, you can do some pretty difficult, awful things. You can hurt others with your hands, so that the medical profession now has to heal them. You can pick up pornography with your hands, or click it on your laptop or your computer. Realize also with your hands, you can pick up your Bible, and you can read about the Word of God. Remember with your hands, you can do an obscene gesture, and just since we're on Facebook and I'm not that kind of person, I'm not going to do it. But you know which finger I'm leaving up there. That's an obscene gesture. Or you can love with your hands. You can do the now social distancing handshake. You can do that we're here together, the air high five, far off. You can let people know that with your hands, there's love in your head and love in your heart. With your hands, you can give encouragement. You can pat a person on the back when we're done with social distancing, that is. Or with your hands, you can hurt a soul by slapping them on the face. With your hands, you can hold on to material things. And somehow, some way, that's going to make your life better by buying all the toilet paper in all the stores. Or you can let some for other people. And realize in your hands, the most important thing to have are the spiritual things of God. Our hands were meant to do good. You realize that. But our hands only do what our heart and our head tell our hands to do. So let us use our hands from here on to be able to seek and save the lost, to put positive on Facebook and the internet. Use our hands to write letters of encouragement to those who are stuck in by themselves, to buy groceries for those in need. Let our hands make those meals that we then deliver, courtesy of our deacons and helpers, that we deliver to those in need. Let our hands be the one to point scripture and highlight that Jesus is Lord, that He is Savior, that He's God of our lives. Each and every Monday, Thursday, we start a new tradition. This is a few years old, but it's a tradition of washing hands. Some of our Christian brothers and sisters wash feet, but here at St. Andrew, we wash hands. And so what I'd like to do tonight, we can't be together to do that. Normally what we do is on the baptismal side, or on the piano side, we would gather, and we would hold your hands and say an encouraging word over them, but we can't do that tonight. But I'd like to do it over the internet for each and every one of you. We use a towel, and we ask the person to come forward and place their hands in prayerful fashion in front of them. We then cover the hands with a towel. And while we're doing that, we share a word of encouragement. The word of encouragement I'd like to share with you tonight comes from two parts of Scripture. One of them comes from the great songwriter David, when he says, "Know that the Lord is your shepherd, so you shall never want. He makes you lie down in green pastures. He leads you beside still waters. He restores your soul. He leads you in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, even though I may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, know that you don't have to fear evil. For God is with you. His rod and his staff, they comfort you. He prepares a table before you, even in the presence of your enemies. He's anointed your head with oil, and your cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life, and you will dwell in God's house forever. The second scripture I'd like to share with you, the blessing on your hands, comes from John the Gospel writer. In a nighttime meeting, just like it's almost night now, a nighttime meeting with Nicodemus, Jesus shared these words of encouragement. For God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son, that whenever you believe in him, you will not perish. You will have everlasting life. Know that God loves you deeply. And as you share these words, as you share this time, know that God is blessing you with cleansing. God is blessing you with love. Let's take a moment to pray. Thank you, Lord God, for the amazing way our lives are touched by you, for the incredible gift of your love that we find in Jesus Christ. We thank you that this love is also communicated through other human means, the church, through our deacons, our elders, our Sunday school teachers, our staff here. It's communicated from churchgoers, church members. We thank you, Lord God, that we can take the love you've given to us in Jesus and we can share that. Share it in such a powerful way that we can change lives. We thank you we can do that with our hands. That we can touch with encouragement and we can powerfully show the great love of your Son. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. On a Monday, Thursday, when you all are here, we have a different kind of communion. We generally have our elders and deacons up front, and they're our youngest elders and deacons, our youngest ordained. And we share a moment of intention, where you take the bread and you dip it into the cup. Obviously, in our day and time, with social distancing and with the concern over that kind of item, that can't happen this year. We'll be back next year. We do share communion on this night. Communion with not only each other, you who are far away, and we who are here, which is Annette and EW and myself, but we also share a time in which Jesus is present. We start over here with the Palm Sunday, and from there we realize Holy Week began. It goes through this moment, which is the Last Supper. And it's called the Last Supper only because it's the last meal Jesus had before he went to the cross. But it's not our Last Supper with him, because after the cross and after the resurrection, Jesus is alive now. He's alive forevermore. And so this, which we call Last Supper, is really not our last meal with him. It's really more communion. This, which is one of our two sacraments, baptismal's over there, and communion, which is this, are those moments in which we have a sacred time with our Lord. And we call this communion because we are communing with our Savior, the one who died, rose again. And so it's because of that, we know that he's here with us, because he's alive now and forevermore. And so we are grateful Jesus is here with us now. And so Jesus invites all those who trust in him to come to this moment, to share in this communal meal, us and him, we together. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. This was a very life-giving sustenance for those people of that day and time. He took bread. He first gave thanks to God. And then he blessed and he broke it. And he turned to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which has been given for you. Do this remembering me." Now on a Monday, Thursday night, I continue. We don't share in this yet. We go. And we know that on the night that Jesus shared this was their Seder meal. It was their Passover meal. It was a moment in which Jesus took the cup that was not supposed to be drunk, and he now appropriates it to himself. And he turned to his disciples, and he said, "This cup is a cup of the new covenant, shed in my blood for the forgiveness of sins of many." And you know what Jesus did? He took the cup reserved for the coming of the new era of God, for the Messiah. He took that and made it new for us. We're blessed to know that whenever we eat of this bread and whenever we drink of this cup, we're proclaiming our Lord's death and his resurrection until he comes again. My friends, since you cannot be here, you can go ahead and in your home, take a piece of bread, dip it in grape juice if you have it. If you don't have grape juice, whatever liquid you enjoy, dip it in, enjoy it. Because we've just shared communion. Let's close this portion with prayer. Let's go to God in prayer. Thank you, wonderful God, for the amazing way our lives have been touched by you. We especially thank you for the incredible gift of Jesus. He's the one who makes us whole. He's the one who transforms who we are so that we can be transformative in this life. For those who are hurting and broken, those who need encouragement, those who need a way to see how to get to God. Thank you, Lord God, that you've taken all of our broken pieces and mended them together so that we can touch the world for you. Thank you, Lord God, for our Savior. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Now, folks, this is the beginning of the end of Holy Week. Once again, we do have virtual crosswalk tomorrow. Come join us at noon on this station. And then we have a virtual Easter sunrise. Come join us on this station. The way in which we end all Monday, Thursday services is to remind you the most awful day of history. Normally, during church, we have an acolyte take the candle, the light, and carries it out in, past us out into the world. This is symbolic, the carrying of the light. It's symbolic that we carry the light of Jesus Christ and we go out into the world with Jesus, on our lips, in our heart, in our head, and on our hands. This night, we're reminded of the awfulness of evil. On this night, we're reminded of the tragedy, the lengths that Jesus had to go to save us. Right above me, and part of the reason why we meet in this setting is to remind you of the cross of Jesus Christ. On this night, we remember that Jesus died. Actually happens tomorrow, but we symbolically show it tonight. And for this night, the only night, we don't carry the light out. My friends, stay safe in God's grace. And now, may the love of our Lord be upon you, within you,